You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Darrell Connor.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Americans are big fans of convenience, and personal banking has been one of the latest things to get revolutionized. We'll talk to a banking expert about the end of paper checks, what exactly a digital wallet is, and more.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. An audit finds that the state's contract with Foxconn could put taxpayers on the hook for jobs based outside of Wisconsin. We're getting a better idea of what cooperation between Governor-elect Tony Evers and Republican leaders could look like. And the chancellor at UW-Whitewater has resigned after her husband was accused of sexual harassment on campus.
Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, the latest on Foxconn now, Rob. The state's legislative audit committee has been analyzing Wisconsin's contract, and they say there's maybe a red flag on which workers could lead to payments from the state to Foxconn. What are we seeing here?
Right. So, yeah, one of the outcomes from this audit is the company could claim credit for workers who are directed from and paid from Wisconsin, but who might not be working in Wisconsin. So that is, it's a little bit distinct from the issue of, like, we know there's a big giant employer that's sort of close to a state line, and it's probably normal to think that some workers may be driving across the state border from Illinois or whatever. That's one thing. This would be like a remote worker, so somebody who's doing IT support or human resources or whatever, could be in Florida potentially or wherever, and Foxconn would be able to claim credit for those workers for the purpose of their tax credit.
So as I understand it, that worker would be paying state income tax because they're getting paid from a Wisconsin company, I think, but the idea is, they're not paying rent or a mortgage in Wisconsin, not buying stuff at Wisconsin stores, going to Wisconsin restaurants. The benefit of that worker isn't what the taxpayer might hope it would be.
Right, exactly so. And, it's like a lot of things when it comes to Foxconn, like those who are inclined to, be more bullish on the deal, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald or the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, they're saying maybe this is something that we should look at. It's not that big of a deal. They're still paying Wisconsin state income tax, and it's going to be a small number of workers. But, like, this is at least could be perceived as a loophole that exists. And if for those who are not inclined to give Foxconn the benefit of the doubt, it's a concern.
Is there talk about tweaking the rules here to make this less likely?
There is, absolutely. And yeah, there were those statements of support from Fitzgerald and from Wiedek, but none of these credits are tied to job creation. None have gone into effect. None will be paid until, unless and until there are actual workers. So, yes, there is an expectation that there will be some response to as a result of the audit.
Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald also talked yesterday about what the next session of the legislature will look like. We've got divided government, governor-elect Democrat Tony Evers, Republicans still controlling the legislature. One of the issues Evers campaigned on was the idea of taking this federal Medicaid money for Wisconsin. Republicans haven't wanted to do that. What did Fitzgerald have to say about it?
Yeah, Fitzgerald was not exactly supportive. I don't think even really all that open to it, but it did represent a slight opening in the rhetoric. He said that he didn't really see it. There are a lot of moving parts to the budget, and the quote was, "I don't want to be presumptuous and rule it out."
So, yeah, not ruling it out completely is at least a slight change from what Republicans have said over the last 8 years or so.
Right, and this is such, Medicaid expansion is kind of a weird issue in Wisconsin. So under Governor Scott Walker, Republicans actually did expand the state's Medicaid program in the same way, basically, that the Affordable Care Act did. They just have refused to take the federal funding that the Obamacare law made available. So I find it weird. This fight is not to do with any particular principle. The state takes federal funds for roads and all kinds of other things. But in this case, because I think some Republicans feel it's important to not to sort of accept Obamacare as a legitimate law, they've chosen to forego the federal funds. Now, going into a state budget year, this you could imagine that this amounts to about $280 million that would be available. It'd probably be pretty useful in a state budget process. So that's why this is sort of on the table or an active discussion, I guess.
Talking to Rob Metzer from the USA Today Network Wisconsin about the top stories in Wisconsin news. And you mentioned that state budget process. It sounds like, so we're going to have a budget proposed by Governor-elect Evers early next year. What are state lawmakers saying they're going to do when it comes to the budget?
Yeah, so the Republicans are going to start off with the state's current budget levels and sort of take the current spending levels and build a new budget out of that. They say that they will be involved in negotiations with the new governor, but what they won't do is take the governor's budget, which will come out sometime in January, as their starting point for negotiation. And I guess it's pretty obvious that the legislature and the governor are going to have some different priorities next year. But that's what they've said. They're intentionally trying to kind of cut the legs out from underneath the governor's budget look, that's a non-starter. We're going to do our own thing.
And here's a bit of what Fitzgerald had to say about the budget process.
Now, that doesn't mean that there couldn't be some common areas where, again, I talked to the governor-elect this morning about this, where there would be some common interest, where maybe we could get some veto assurances that he would just, keep his pen off of that area and build some consensus.
Well, sounds like they'll work together just fine. No problems next year,
Rob. No problem. Yeah, no, I guess we'll talk to you when the budget's signed.
All right. Yeah, it could be a rocky road. We'll see. I want to turn to another story, Rob. This story's been on for a bit. UW-Whitewater Chancellor Beverly Copper announced this week that she's resigning. Over the summer, her husband was accused by multiple people of sexual harassment on campus. Talk about what all happened there.
Right. Copper's husband, Pete Hill, was actually banned from campus as a result of these complaints. Now, the complaints were to do with her husband and his behavior, sexual harassment against women on campus, university employees. But there were some related allegations that she, Copper, had created a hostile work environment, that there wasn't a way for people to, make complaints about his bad behavior, I guess. So she announced that she'll resign from that position as of the end of the year. However, she will stay with the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. She's going to be on administrative leave for through August, and then she'll join the faculty as a part of the psychology department.
And I understand she's going to be drawing her chancellor's salary while on leave. It's gotten criticism from state lawmaker, Republican Senator Steve Noss, a frequent critic of the UW system in general. What's happening there?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that this would be a simpler case if the allegations were against her, but they're not against her. They were against her husband. But it is nevertheless the case that within the university system, she will be able to draw that salary during that period of 8-9 months of administrative leave. And yeah, for a UW critic, that is a good occasion to do some UW criticism.
Wisconsin in some entertainment news. Rob, Chris Cruzy, a musician from Barron, made it deep into the season on the singing competition The Voice on TV. Where did he end up?
Yeah, so you got to hand it to Cruzy. He's got a fine beard. Some people like his sort of rootsy country rock sound, and he finished second place on The Voice, which is quite a run on that show. Yeah.
And then you made your debut on our WASA studio yesterday. Is that right? Any Hodag sightings, Rob?
Yeah, we had some good HODAG information shared in the Route 51 show and a good conversation. I didn't, you know, personally see a HODAG, but I understand we had a caller who was with one, but the line was bad. We weren't able to get that caller on the air, unfortunately.
Maybe next time. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Rob Metzger is a statewide living and storytelling editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He was with us for a weekly look at the top news stories from around the state.